a great joy to be here with you.
Praise be to God. Gabby, After Hours YouTube channel, truefaith.tv, there's a ton of stuff. We love having you on. Tell us about the Seven Sorrows of Mary. What is the Seven Sorrows of Mary? I know there's big promises that come with it. Tell us all about it.
So first and foremost, I'm very fond of saying that the quickest, shortest, easiest, best, most efficient, most secure way to Jesus Christ is through Mary. And the heart of all of that is the heart of the Virgin Mary. So Mary loved Jesus perfectly because she was immaculate, because she got all these graces and preparations from God for her soul. And so she loved Jesus perfectly from a natural perspective because that was her son. So because that's her son, she automatically loves him more than any other person who's ever lived. But then at the same time, that's her God. And God had prepared her that somebody on this earth would appreciate Jesus Christ perfectly. We don't appreciate his sufferings the way we should because our hearts are constantly self-seeking, full of self-love. And so Our Lady's soul truly does magnify the Lord. If you want to get at the heart of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, what he did for us throughout his passion, the best way to look at him is with the eyes and the heart of the Virgin Mary. And the saints are unanimous. A lot of the things I'm going to say might sound a little bit extreme, but I can assure you they're all said by the saints, saints such as Saint Bernard, Saint Bernardine, Saint Anselm, Saint Alphonsus Liguori, Saint Bridget. So I'm getting a lot of this information from the wonderful book, The Glories of Mary by Saint Alphonsus.
Ooh.
And throughout it, sorrow after sorrow, he keeps reemphasizing that all of the saints say that it was a grace from God that the Virgin Mary did not die from sorrow. That if you were to take the sorrow that the Virgin Mary experienced just throughout her entire life, and you spread it up out upon every man that's ever lived, every single one of them would have died instantaneously from the sorrow. A lot of times we think of the Virgin Mary as having this perfect life. She gets to have the Savior of the world, but her entire life was marked by sorrow. Christ chose suffering because that is something that we all have. And so it's fitting that the model of Christians would be the model of suffering, which is Our Lady. And St. John of the Cross often said that suffering endears men to Christ. So if suffering is what's going to make us love Christ and turn to him more, Our Lady, who is perfect, had to suffer perfectly. So she has a heart that if we could only enter into it. So a lot of times we pick up a lot of devotions and a lot of activities that we can be doing, and sometimes they distract us from really what's at the core of the gospel, what's at the heart of the gospel. And we see that most perfectly through the heart of the Virgin Mary. And so there's a devotion to the seven sorrows. And why the number seven? Did she suffer more than seven times? Yes, she suffered thousands of times, and they say that she suffers still today. But the number seven specifically, because that's a perfect number to kind of represent that Our Lady suffered perfectly. And her first sword in her heart, so to speak, was the one that Prophet Simeon prophesied, that a sword will pierce your heart, that your son will be a stumbling block for many. Our Lady already knew or had the idea that her son was going to die because she was wiser than all of the prophets. She had a great understanding of sacred scripture. She was illumined by the Holy Spirit. And so although she already knew this, when the prophet Simeon proclaimed this, in a mystical way, it was like already now that sword is jabbed in her heart. And everything that she saw, everything that her son did, taking his first steps, hearing his first words, everything that she experienced that normally would be moments of joy were from this point on tinged with sorrow. Our Lady was graced and at the same time was burdened with this knowledge of the depths of the sorrow of her son. And every time she looked at his face, whenever she wiped a tear away, whenever she wiped sweat off his brow, she was also contemplating the suffering that he was going to experience. So the first sorrow is that one sword that Simeon prophesied, that a sword will pierce your heart. The thoughts of many might be revealed. The second sorrow, I think of it as kind of a double sorrow, is that the flight into Egypt and then the massacring of the innocents. So I tie the two together as a way to remember that there's two. So the idea that the Savior of the world who came to save humanity was already going to be rejected by humanity as an infant, just freshly out of the womb, and they're already trying to kill him. And not only that, that he came to the Jews and he's being run out of his home country. Instead of being able to go to the temple and go to the synagogue, he's being run off to Egypt so he can be in the presence of demons and all their false gods. He had to travel by foot. Our Lady's probably only 15 years old, traveling across the desert in ways and paths that aren't well-worn, that don't have hotels, that she's taking this arduous journey throughout the night, all because the love of her son is being rejected from such a young age. He didn't come to steal anybody's throne. He didn't come to harm anybody. Mm. He came to love, and already he's being rejected. And so the heart of a mother that's already seeing that her son's only mission in life is being rejected by men, the sorrow is unimaginable. But at the very least, she still had him in her arms. She had the consolation, like we go through suffering, but we have the consolation and the peace of soul of having Jesus with us. The third sorrow of Our Lady is extremely tragic. Again, this is where many of the saints would say that if we could experience the depths of her sorrow in this third sorrow, we would die. Parents can kind of have some idea of what she experienced, mm-hmm. because you can imagine the anxiety and the fear and the desperation if you lost your child, mm-hmm. and you lost him for 3 days. But more so for Our Lady, she had this sense that I failed God. I was entrusted with the Savior of the world. So not only did she lose her son, but she, in a way, kind of sense that she lost her mission to lose the Savior of the world. Did she ruin God's plan? And in a way, this gives all of us hope, because we too can find our Lord in the temple, in our souls, when we seek God earnestly.
We should have you back and just talk about that one point. I could spend literally hours discussing that one point, but we don't have time for that right now. So keep going.
And then, so the fourth sorrow is easy to remember, because it's the fourth sorrow when you're praying the sorrowful mysteries, and mm-hmm. that is Jesus' carrying of the cross. Now, you have to imagine that Our Lady had not seen her son getting scourged at the pillar. She's seeing him for the first time after his passion has begun.
Yeah.
So she can barely recognize him. Mm-hmm. Imagine, she sees Jesus fine at the Last Supper, they take him off, and now on the way of the cross, he looks like a leper, covered from head to toe in sores, mm-hmm. a crown of thorns, people are mocking him, people are beating him. And then if you want to meditate upon how her heart must have sunk into her stomach when she saw her Savior, her son, whom she put diapers on, now being ridiculed and bandied about throughout the streets. And then the sorrow that she saw in his eyes, to see his own mother suffering so greatly at what is happening to him. So all of this sorrow tinged with a sense of fulfillment, like this is what he came to do. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird combination of emotions that Our Lady must be experiencing. And the fifth sorrow of the Virgin Mary is the fifth mystery in the Most Holy Rosary, which is the crucifixion and death of our Lord. And the saints say that Our Lady stood there dying, yet she wasn't allowed to die. Everything that happened to Jesus Christ physically, she was experiencing in an excruciating way in her heart. And this is really where it is finished. That the sword, Fulton Sheen, I believe, says that on that day, two hearts were pierced with a single lance. Mm. And so you can imagine the sorrow. There's no human words it can express, because we can't see it perfectly, but seeing the Savior of the world lifted up, being mocked, ridiculed, still rejected. So few people who have even all of his apostles are gone. His entire life's work looks like it's wasted. There's only one apostle there, and the mother who stood by the cross. A lot of times I don't like looking at religious art that shows Our Lady, you know, fainting or on the ground. Our Lady stood by the cross because she had a sense of her own mission to be there for her son. And some of the saints say that Our Lord had such a great sorrow having to look down at his mother suffering so much, because we forget. So we go to the Virgin Mary because she's the perfect daughter of God the Father, because she's this perfect spouse of the Holy Spirit, because she's the perfect mother to Jesus Christ. And so they loved her absolutely perfectly.
Mm.
The sixth sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary is having him taken down from the cross and laid in her arms. And you can only imagine the shock. When you see a dead body for the first time, it's kind of shocking. It's very disorienting because mm-hmm. they're no longer there. And so here, for the first time in human history, and the only time in human history, you have the body of Christ without the real presence. So Our Lady is holding her son, but he's not there anymore. And so she's clinging to him and she's clutching him. And all these memories are going on in her mind. And I like to contemplate the utter shock of holding the body of Christ with no Christ inside. The seventh sorrow of the Virgin Mary is putting him in the tomb. if you've been to a funeral, you know that sense when the body is lowered into the ground and they put the dirt on top of it and you're like, this is it. It's done. There's no more. And so Our Lady had a similar experience where the stone is being rolled back and she envies the stone because at least the stone can keep watch over his body.
Wow.
But she knows in her heart because her son filled her in on the whole story. So it's a sadness, it's a sorrow that she will experience, that she will meditate on for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Every activity, the saints say, for the rest of her life, she's going to be contemplating this because our Lord deserves somebody to be meditating upon his passion day and night in every aspect of his life. But at the same time, she knows that all of this suffering was not wasted, that it was for the salvation of our souls. So there's a couple of ways to have this devotion. There's not one way to do this right. So the easiest way is to simply pray seven Hail Marys, one in honor of each of the seven sorrows of Mary. If you want your seven Hail Marys, if you want your Hail Marys to go a long way, just think for a moment upon each one of these seven sorrows. Yeah, you'll have to have a card or a little note to remind you of what these sorrows are at first, but this is an efficient way, only 3 minutes, to really shoot an arrow towards heaven. Because yes, God loves when we go to our mother and she'll intercede for us, but how much more is he going to love that you're consoling her heart, keeping her company at the foot of the cross, keeping her company in all these sorrowful moments? Another way to have this devotion is by praying the Seven Sorrows Rosary, also known as the Servite Rosary. Long story short, it's the same thing, except you take rosary beads, or you could use your fingers, or you could make whatever device you want, and you're praying seven Hail Marys at each of the seven sorrows, when Our Father and seven Hail Marys at each of the seven sorrows. I like that devotion. There's a lot of benefits to this. So one of the benefits is you'll be enlightened about the divine mysteries. Why? Because you're meditating upon sacred scripture, because you're meditating upon the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you're meditating upon the suffering of Our Lady, all of the things that God the Father looks upon with the most favor and the most love. So by meditating upon these things, the Holy Spirit is going to enlighten your mind. Also, this is extraordinarily catechetical. If you have young children, praying seven Hail Marys with them is reasonable, and it goes through the most important aspects of the life of Jesus Christ, so very powerful devotion. It's powerful in supplication for the reasons I just mentioned. You're asking our Lord for something. There's nothing greater than that you could offer him is the passion of Jesus Christ, also in light of the most pure love of Our Lady. If you're suffering from diabolical attacks, if you're suffering from temptations towards lust, if you're suffering from temptations towards drug addiction, there is nothing that the devil hates more than the blood of Jesus Christ and the tears of the Virgin Mary. Mm. Meditate upon her sorrows. Meditate upon his passion. The two of them together, this is what conquered hell and death. So this devotion, very, very powerful. Also, I find that it offers me the grace of conversion and repentance. Sometimes I'll be lax in praying my rosaries, but when I'm meditating upon the seven sorrows, I find myself naturally forcing myself to be reverent when I don't want to be, because this is such a sensitive topic for the Virgin Mary. If I'm not on my knees, I get on my knees just because of the sense of guilt. How can I think of something so hard for the Virgin Mary's heart? How could I not get on my knees and just kind of have a sense of sorrow alongside Our Lady? So in short, this provides intimacy with the Virgin Mary.
Gabriel Castillo, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Praise be to God. The challenge to pray the seven sorrows of Our Lady this week. Maybe we can all do that.
Not bad. Thanks, Mary. If you like this video, give it a thumbs up, hit subscribe, and if you want more talks, more lectures, more one-on-one conversations, more interviews, subscribe to True Faith Talks. If you're not subscribed there, you're really missing out because I post there quite often. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you very soon.